Business on Hot 102.7.
And finally this evening, I'm chatting with Chantal Marks. She is Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, always appreciate your time and insights. I want to kick off with Gold Fields. They put out a first quarter production report. A lot of moving parts, but the short answer is that the two numbers I look to is ounces mined and their cost base, and both are looking good.
Yes, so both definitely moving in the right direction, more or less in line with expectations as well, which is a lot more than I could have said for Harmony Gold's production update that we saw yesterday. So it does seem as if they had a better first quarter performance relative to the peer group, and everything is moving in the right direction, obviously helped by very high gold prices. So they've seen their net debt come down, cash generation was likely very strong, and overall, they are doing what they're meant to be doing at high gold prices.
Which is exactly it. And I take absolutely. And it is, because I mean, gold hit what, 3,500 a couple of weeks ago. It looked like it was going sub 3,000. It turns out my ability to read the gold price is about zero, because it's now heading back to 3,500. I did some digging a few weeks ago and looked at the local guys, and I was looking at their last set of numbers, which would have been to December. They were sort of all in sustained cost. Costs around the sort of $1,500 to $1,700, but importantly, the revenue they were getting was about $2,200 per ounce. Some a little higher, some a little lower. If gold just stays where it is right now at above 3,000, these gold miners are printing money. Doesn't even come to explain it. They're going to make insane profits.
Yes, they are. They're going to be making supernormal profits if we get, they were already making supernormal profits last year, and it's only going to get bigger this year if the gold price remains this high. I think the trick will be for them to not be irresponsible with the windfall. So firstly, they need to be very careful when they are looking at acquisitions and when they are looking at expansion projects. And then the second thing is they need to stay operationally tight, because the gold price isn't going to be there forever. And if you let costs spiral out of control, it could become an issue. And then within that operational kind of that clean operational model, you need to make sure that your safety record remains intact. And this is something that tends to happen when the gold price is really high. They start to not really focus on those perceived little things like human life when they are producing, but it can have a huge impact on your ability to produce, because if you are not operating safely, you are going to have production stoppages and you're not going to be able to benefit from these high prices.
So is it, and I take 100% on that, and it is something which I always look at. I remember, when I'm old enough to remember when there'd be a thing in the newspaper, the hundreds of people would die. We're away from that, thank goodness. But is it a case of watch their safety record and they disclose it, watch their all-in sustained costs, and keep a close eye on those two to make sure that they're staying operationally lean and efficient and safe?
Yes, and I think that if you look at those two metrics, when you're making your investment decision in terms of a gold miner specifically, you will also be protected to the downside as well. Because if costs are spiraling out of control, I mean, these companies can still be growing their profits at a massive rate and be generating massive cash flows.
Yeah.
But we need to make sure that they're going to be okay if the gold price moves closer to the cost curve eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to your point, eventually it does. Let's switch track entirely. MTN, they've got a lot of their regional offer, regional kind of perhaps a little diminishing of what it is. Some of their country markets are separately listed. We've had Rwanda, we've had Ghana, we've had Nigerian results out. What are the numbers looking like? I mean, certainly they had challenges in Nigeria with the currency, but that is now probably already in the base.
Yes, it is. And I think that what we can say from this kind of, I'm not really sure how to characterize it, these kind of mini reports that are coming through from the different geographies, is that in the main, things are moving in the right direction for MTN in these geographies. I think Nigeria, probably the most important one, we are starting to see some good go forward momentum there in terms of pricing increases. And they haven't really had to give up too much in terms of subscriber growth either. And then some of the underlying kind of drivers of growth in all of three of these geographies that have reported so far. We're still waiting for a couple as well. But what we've seen is that data growth remains very strong. Data growth is being driven by increased data traffic and increased data subscribers. So more people want data and people are using more data. And then also their mobile money or fintech offerings. Both of these things, I think, moving in the right direction, a very positive read across for MTN. And we'll probably see a very boring and stable result out of MTN South Africa. But with these other geographies complementing that boring growth profile in South Africa, we should see pretty decent results from MTN.
Moving to Brent, we had OPEC Plus over the weekend increasing their production targets, which was already set to increase in June. That's now going to go further. That's put Brent under pressure, trading low $60, which is great for you, I, and the listeners. It means our petrol price and diesel price is going to go down again when we get to June. Bad news for Sasol shareholders, but I noticed this, that Sasol share price isn't doing much. Is there sort of no one left to panic in Sasol? Is it all price? In, I suppose.
Yeah, so I think that Sasol share price really is pricing in a worst case scenario situation right now. And I think that a lot of the holders of Sasol are not necessarily willing to sell at these levels. And then there's a potential catalyst for Sasol coming up on the 20th of May. They've scheduled a capital markets day. Yeah. And a lot of the analysts are actually waiting for that before making a new call on Sasol or before adjusting their numbers on Sasol. One of the biggest issues for Sasol is that no one knows what's going to happen with that business after 2030. There's just no clear path towards a sustainable future for Sasol. And I think analysts are hopeful that on the 20th of May, they'll get that insight and they'll be able to value the company properly. Because at the moment, we've still got a consensus target price of 150 Rand on Sasol.
Yeah.
It looks very, very cheap.
It does. It does. It looked cheap all the way down from about 150. For folks who want to go to that capital markets day, there's going to be a webcast. You can find that at sasol.com. A last question, and two together. We got the S&P Global PMI for April smack on 50, which means our economy is going nowhere, but that's better than going down. And we also saw Transnet announcing they're ramping up private sector participation at Durban. Baby steps, but baby steps in the right direction.
Yes. So, I mean, on the PMI, neutral is better than going backwards, as you mentioned. It's actually stabilized after 4 months of contraction. So definitely moving in the right direction. There was some rebound in output, new orders and employment, which I think is really great. And then supply delivery times have improved for the first time since middle 2023. And that's been because of reduced congestion at Durban Port. So I think a lot of work is being done there. And this kind of private sector involvement that's being driven by Transnet in Durban could be something that improves the situation there even further. The contract that they've put out to tender now is a 25-year contract, excluding the development period for kind of soft commodities. So a little bit different to some of the to a container terminal, but all of this is to reduce congestion and to improve the logistics performance from a South African perspective more generally.
Yeah, and as a Durban boy, I've been watching that harbour for decades, and I have to say, the last couple of years there've been more ships in the bay than I ever remember. 12 used to be an impressive number. More recently, I've seen north of 20. Next time I'm in Durban, I will count the boats and see how they're doing. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Thank you very much for your insights.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7.